Welcome to the Fantasy NASCAR Podcast brought to you by RaceForThePrize.com. This is the second Dover Cup Series video trying to get you ready for the week. And today we will start by looking at who's trending upward. We had the Talladega week, so maybe we have forgotten. Also, you look at season averages and it can be misleading. Maybe a driver that was hot earlier in the year may not be going in the right direction. Someone that struggled early could have found something. We've got a diverse schedule so far, so it is hard to trust every single race. We've used the short track package. Bristol was its own thing. So it's good to go back through the data, remind ourselves of who are the drivers that are possibly going to lead laps from fast laps and who are those value guys that might surprise and get into our optimal lineups. But remember, if you want to get access to the Fantasy NASCAR spreadsheet, which will make your life easier, which will save you time and allow you to have more fun and really get into Fantasy NASCAR, all you got to do, it's simple. Venmo, PayPal, Cash App, links below, or at RaceForThePrize.com. $30 for the month of May. I will throw in the Dover Cup and Xfinity Series to you because I'm glad you're here. You're liking videos, you're subscribing, you're leaving comments. Everybody's having fun. The team is growing. The movement is bumping. Everything is awesome. This is great. I am so glad you're here. I want you to be a part of this. And when you help me with the three D's, diapers, daycare, and Mickey D's, I try to help you out with the best content possible, spreadsheets possible. So who's trending upward? It is difficult to look at the data because of all the various tracks. Maybe the starting point is to look at Texas. But if you can remember all the way back to Texas, you'll remember it was kind of a funky race. Now you can look at the optimal lineup here, which left $1,300 on the table in a Texas race. An intermediate track race with $1,300 unspent, that should tell you everything you need to know. And the thing that you need to know is it's going to be hard to trust some of the traditional data, the basic data. You're going to have to dig in a little bit deeper to dissect Texas to find out who had speed. And that is an important thing to do because, as I mentioned in previous podcasts, Texas will correlate with Dover. If you have speed at Texas, you then should have speed at Dover. And that doesn't just apply to our hogs or dominators. That will also apply to those value picks, those mid-tier guys that we have to lean on to fill out our lineups. And right here you can see an average running position of Keselowski, Busch, Suarez, and Ty Dillon. Really low. Their finish significantly higher. And so that right there tells us, oh boy, finishing position is going to be rough. So what you would more than likely want to do is do your best to go through the actual laps at Texas and dissect. I don't have time to go through all the laps. All right, well, if you got the spreadsheet, then you can look and quickly see Tyler Reddick. 53% of his laps inside the top five, that was the most. I think that checks a box. You feel pretty comfortable with that. Doesn't quite get the result that we maybe should have seen from him. But either way, that is a quick way of dissecting where you expect some of these drivers to run. You can also run through the laps. But again, as we mentioned, Texas and the way that we're going to do research, and this is what I told you last week, Texas has the ability to have some long green flag runs, but it will also have plenty of cautions and weirdness. And this is exactly what happened throughout the race, especially in stage three. As we pull it up, there it is. You can see the yellow on your screen, caution at 255, 261, 267, 272, and a wreck at the end. So that, given the strategies that I thought would happen, it pretty much played out how we expected. There's going to be some elite drivers that actually run away with it. And there's going to be guys that shouldn't be there that end up there. And another way to illustrate that is we can see our finishing position right here. And then over here we can see, which I think is a more finite average running position number that I do. NASCAR is going to calculate average running position for all laps. So if a driver wrecks on lap 50 and then is in 35th for the rest of the race, every lap it's going to be 35, 35, 35. My calculation is an average running position of when you are running. So it gives you a better idea. Now, it doesn't really matter here for Brad Keselowski, but it's a little bit more telling for a driver who actually wrecks out to give us an idea. Like, for example, Josh or Alex Bowman finishes 37th. So he clicked off a lot of laps at the very back. And so his official average running position is going to be pretty low. But when we see what was he doing before bad things happened, 16.9. That's not great, but again, that's more accurate, and it pretty much lines up with where Alex Bowman's been running this season. Austin Hill, 19.3. Just another useful tool in the Fantasy NASCAR spreadsheet at RaceForPrize.com. and things that help you save time, get a little bit of an edge. But again, we go up to the top. Brad Keselowski, as always, I mentioned this, you should read the article, what the driver said after the race, and every single time they interview Brad Keselowski, and every single time he says, we didn't have speed. And they didn't have speed. And that's a concern for him and Buescher, and that'll be a concern again this week. Did they find speed? I don't know. But when you find speed, great. But other people are finding speed too. It's a constant arms race. They are behind. They're playing catch up. They could either fall further behind or they could keep pace. But it's very unlikely that all of a sudden RFK leaps ahead of Hendrick. That RFK leaps ahead of JGR. And while the initial reaction is, all right, well, looks like we're not playing Brad Keselowski or Chris Buescher, but at the same time, if they lack speed, guess what? They're going to lack speed in qualifying, and the same situation is going to present itself where Brad Keselowski is a place differential play, and then through smoke and mirrors, he ends up finishing second, or through five cautions, basically, in the last 20 laps. I don't expect Dover to play that way. So there is the possibility that we will be presented with the Keselowski place differential play, and that was definitely something to consider. Despite the lack of speed at Texas, may not be as much the case at Dover. Again, just showing the illustration of Suarez finishing fifth, 20th average running position. Even Bubba Wallace getting a little bit better than maybe he should have. Dylan, Kyle Busch, obviously. These cars lack speed. I'm not interested in the RCR cars. Congratulations to them for sneaking away with a solid finish. But there were plenty of ins and outs, quirks, twists and turns at Texas, that what you will really need to do is pour through the data, look at all their 5% laps, top 10 laps, 15 laps, and be able to differentiate there. One of the guys I kind of liked looking at was, you know that I'm way too much of a Ricky Stenhouse Jr. homer, but he had a halfway decent race for once. Average running position of 19.2. That's a step forward for this team to be running inside the top 20. They were more of a top 25 team. I find that very encouraging. We look at the laps right there. Happy for them, but I also want to dial back expectations and not get completely drunk on Stenhouse like I tend to do. But it's going to be hard because I really like Stenhouse at Dover, because Dover is a track that takes rubber. The temperature is going to be in the mid-70s. The grooves change. That's why Larson is so good here, and he loves this track. It really favors drivers that can identify the changing track, find speed in different places as it goes, and that's a Larson place. And for the most part, it's been a Stenhouse place. We've seen Stenhouse do kind of the same thing at Bristol. Not as successfully, but again, what if Stenhouse had really good equipment? I'm not saying he would become a stud, but he would at least have more top finishes if he had better equipment over the years at Bristol and at Dover. Although his average equipment, he still has put together some pretty good results. Got some bad ones. It is Stenhouse. I would expect Bell to be better at this, but he really hasn't shown it. He has improved at Dover, but you know, it's kind of strange to me that Bell isn't really exceptional, or Briscoe really isn't that exceptional at this specific track. But Larson clearly is. Fun race to watch. Should be interesting to see the tire wear, the rubber, hopefully it takes. I mean, we did see some weird stuff at Bristol, so who knows? But I think we should see a traditional Dover race with long green flag runs, as mentioned in the previous podcast. One of the things that we can do, because of this race being so funky, is actually look at the practice data from Texas. Boy, you're going deep today. Well, we always go deep here at the Fantasy NASCAR podcast. That's why you like, subscribe, and share. You want to talk NASCAR. You want to dig deep. You want to really enjoy this process. That's why you're here. You don't just want picks. You can get picks somewhere else, and you should go get picks from somewhere else, too. You know, plenty of content out there. Check it out. But also, check mine out first. So we've got them sorted based on, I believe, driver rating at Texas. That's correct. And then we're looking at practice speed. And I think the basic hypothesis here is unloading fast. If you unload fast in practice, It seems that your team and driver are on the same page. It seems that your team knows what it's doing. And if you unloaded fast to Texas, you're more than likely to unload fast to Dover. That puts you a step ahead of the field. And that's going to give you an advantage all weekend long. Likely to result in good qualifying effort. Hard to pass these days and all days and every day. So, you know, again, this is just one piece of the puzzle. But in that one piece of the puzzle, Reddick was our fastest rated driver. Reddick unloaded fast. Checks the box. So heading into Dover with that information, we would expect him again to unload fast. We would expect him again to be able to produce some strong results. He's going to be in our pool of drivers we want to target for Hog Dominator. Chase Elliott. Now I know what you are saying, or maybe you are way too into this like I am. But do you remember Texas? Oh, yeah, it was a crazy race. Do you remember Texas practice? I didn't watch it. It was Friday afternoon or whatever, and I have a life, okay? Did you listen to my podcast on Sunday morning? Yes, I did. I'm a loyal listener to your Fantasy NASCAR podcast. I write down everything you said. What did I say about Elliott? What did I say about his practice? Do you remember? Is it coming back to you? Actually, I don't really listen. I zone out and just kind of take some of the picks. That's okay. Like, subscribe, share by the spreadsheet. Run the optimized mass entry tool. You got it, whatever. Chase Elliott's averages were suppressed because of one poor lap. One of the things that I do in the weekend show and that we do in the spreadsheet is to provide the raw laps. And you can identify where in a specific run that, you know, maybe it's traffic or whatever the situation is. The driver has an off lap. That kills their average. It creates misleading stats for the normies, for the marks. And so you see Chase Elliott, he had one of those bad laps, threw him off. I told you about it. I said, jam him in. He's fast. You look at all of his data from all of his other races, it's coming. And he won. Same thing happened to Denny Hamlin. Same thing happened to Martin Truex Jr. They were all fast, had that one lap that didn't work. Briscoe was pretty happy. I can't remember what we said about Briscoe, so we have to go through that. Anyway, we go back to Byron, unloaded fast, should unload fast. Hendrick has been fast at Dover. My concern is that he didn't have a very good race to Texas. After the race, again, what the driver said, he struggled all day. He did not have a top-tier car. Now, he's probably had the fastest car all season long. Changes week by week, right? This is constant race to build fast race cars. People got ahead of him. Can they catch back up? It's going to be tough this week. If this was any other intermediate track or maybe a short track, I wouldn't be as concerned. But we've got Chase Elliott, who's really good on concrete. Kyle Larson, who loves this track. I know Larson's last two races, not good results, but that's because Ross Chastain wrecked into Brennan Poole. Poole took out Larson. And then in 2022, Larson just spun out, damaged the splitter, and then pretty much had, you know, 80% of car left for the rest of the race, still was top 10 with a machine that was banged up. Before that, he scored 121 hog points. How do you remember these numbers off the top of your head? Because you pay me to do it. In 2021, it doesn't get the win because Bowman leapfrogs him on pit road in stage 3, and then Clean Air runs away because Bowman's great at Dover, and Bowman's going to be in play this week. Back in our lives, the showman Bowman. But can Byron get ahead of those guys? And hey, that doesn't even mention the JGR Toyotas and Martin Truex Jr., the Jersey boy, coming down to Delaware where he absolutely crushes. Hamlin's the best rated driver pretty much this season, week in, week out. No one is more cerebral. No one is more intellectual. I would not even argue. I would just tell you this as a fact. Hamlin is the smartest driver in the history of NASCAR. It's not like, oh, he passed some sort of test. I'm saying that in terms of racing in and out, understanding the industry, understanding the cars, understanding what to do during a specific lap, understanding strategy, knowing what his opponents are doing. I mean, knowing everything about racing. There's no one close to him. Not Dale Earnhardt Sr., not Darrell Waltrip, no one, not Richard Petty. This guy has been through 20 years of changes, 20 years of cars being pretty equal. Think of everything that NASCAR's gone through. And he just continues to stay at the cutting edge. And we're seeing it again this season. And you can see it in his thoughts and the way that he approaches races. And he's made changes to everything that he's done over the years. When he struggled for a little bit there at the end of the teens, into the 20s, he made significant changes and said, look, I got to get better. I got to do things differently. What I was doing doesn't work. And he did. And he's at the top. So Byron's going to leapfrog over him? I don't know. Going back to our practice data, Gibbs is fast. Gibbs bounced back. Maybe we expected a little bit more from him. But either way, unload fast. Imagine he's going to unload fast again this week. He's going to be there. Truex will be there. Bubba Wallace didn't fire off with the fastest lap, put together some good lap averages. And then, you know, right here on our, you'd say, yeah, it's probably a top 10 car. And his driver rating was in the top 10. Ross Chastain with just the 11th highest driver rating, but I believe a speeding penalty or pit road issue kind of suppressed his driver average and his driver rating. But overall, if you were to go through his lap-by-lap data, you'll be impressed with it. And you'll say that, yep, he had a fast car, as we expected. And he had a fast car in the race. And with a second and third place finish in the last two Dover races, I would expect they're going to understand the setup in the next-gen car again this week and be ready to rock and roll. Bell, if he can get rid of his bad luck, will be fine. But, man, this guy is just can't buy a break at the moment. And why do I need to go there when I like Hamlin and Truex better? I like the Hendrick cars better. We'll see. But, you know, the Bell was the talk of the town 2 months ago. How quickly things fade and change. Logano maybe has a top 10 car. Kozlowski's slow a little bit. And again, we broke down Kozlowski and the way they approach practice. And you could see with these short runs that they made at Texas, you knew that. And Kozlowski had talked about practice earlier in the week. And they go in and they have a poor practice session. Yeah, I know it shows up as a two, but you looked at the specific runs in the video that I talked about. The team was pitting a lot during the practice sessions, which tells you they're needing to make changes. They are testing things. They don't know 100% what they're doing. We love to see teams that unload fast and don't need to pit. They don't need to change. Their Sims got it right. They knew exactly what to do. That is very encouraging. When a team is changing, they're lost. And they're basically throwing crap at the wall at that moment. And it's hard to trust this team. And that's what it showed when we look at his average running position. Blaney used to be terrible at Dover. He's gotten better at Dover. Texas, he unloaded fast. It was just okay. Let's see if there's any other surprises. And look, going back to that Stenhouse story. Stenhouse looked like a top 20 car in practice and was a top 20 car in the race. Just one of the things, I don't want to go too fast on that, hit the points that I want to hit. Another thing to see who's trending up, we'll look at the top five data, try to help out our process a little bit here. Where is that at? I think I got it in here. May not, oh, there it is. So if we're trying to find hogs and drivers that are leading laps and dominating or whatnot, here we go. And we'll just ignore most of it. And what we'll pull from is Las Vegas, Phoenix, Bristol, Richmond, Martinsville, Texas. And we can see here that, you know, Larson 57%, Hamlin 54%, great. Reddick and Truex up here, Elliott and Byron and Gibbs, no real surprises. As we go down further, these are drivers that I'm not crazy about, but I can go into Ross Chastain. Good at Texas. That's one of the tracks that we have some correlation with. Again, the funkiness of Texas. Look how spread out these top five laps are. But I would bump Chastain up into this conversation right near Byron. But when I go into Dover and I want guys to lead laps before, you know what they say, before you get top fives, you got to get top tens. Before you get wins, you got to get top fives. You run in the top five, whether or not you lead laps or run fast laps, or whether or not you lead laps, you're going to accrue fast laps more than likely. And we see that in the data when we look at previous optimal lineups. We can see that they do get an opportunity to lead, but also just running in the top five, which Denny Hamlin, average driver rating last year at Dover, a fifth. doesn't lead, but he scrapes off 12 fast lap points. Ryan Blaney, average running position of what? Third, driver rating of third, never leads lap, 13 fast lap points. So what we do is we look at who's been running in the top five this year, and then we say, all right, these are the guys that are going to be in our lineups, and we're probably going to need three of those drivers. How you make your picks, it's up to you, man. I'm going to nail all three. Maybe you pick four of the three if you can afford them. It's going to be tricky, but none of these guys are going to come cheap. We look at last year's optimal lineup, Byron Chastain, Truex, no surprise there. Blaney gets there. As I said, he has improved at Dover. I don't know if he's a priority this week. Another reminder, starting position was set by the formula because it was rained out in this race. So maybe not the best example for an optimal lineup. Either way, Corey LaJoy is your value play, and he has a good day. Average running position of 16th. Harrison Burton, halfway decent day of an average running position of 23rd. Gives you a bunch of savings starting in the back because of qualifying is rained out. Harrison Burton was much better last year. So that's not the craziest pick. 2022, we'll look at the other optimal lineup from the next-gen car. Again, we've got three hogs in our lineups. Chastain, Busch, Elliott, all three leading laps. So that is what you're going to need to do at Dover when you got 400 laps. Cars all equal and even. We can see some differing strategies. We can see different cycling this way and that. So, yeah, you're going to want three guys that lead laps for sure. I know we've had cases where, I mean, even if we go back to 2021, where Larson pretty much runs away with it, I believe we still have a third lap lead. Well, actually, it's Chase Elliott with an average running position of six, driver rating of fourth. He gets you 26.55. So although he doesn't lead laps, he's right there. Byron did lead laps. He was right there as well. Dominant performance from Hendrick on that day. We go back to 2022. Look at this optimal lineup again. So we got three hogs. We got Bell getting you place differential. Once he gets the place differential, runs up front, adds some fast to that. That's something you can do with your process is factor in a little bit more juice on your place differential guy. There's Ricky Stenhouse Jr. Runs in a top 10 all day. Very strong performance from him in this car. As I mentioned, this should be a track that suits him. And then, boy, man, imagine having to make this play. Justin Haley starting 14th. But he hangs in there all day, runs in 13th, which means, yeah, we get some pretty long green flag runs, hold your track position. If you had speed in practice, you run well in qualifying, you're doing well in the season, why not? But there's your two value. You got a sub 6K, a 7K, a little bit of salary relief with Christopher Bell and Ross Chastain. Maybe not the ideal paradigm to put your lineup, but giving you some information. Hopefully this was helpful. May package on sale now, $30. I'll throw in Dover. Leave a like, share, recruit more people to the team. We're growing. It's awesome. We'll save you time, save you money, I guess, save you effort, make it easy, make it fun. Blessed to have you guys around. Love you guys. Trip to Light, fantastic.